Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Why don't you turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, if you're using the Bible, in the row in front of you is on page 812. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. I'll make sure you have one. Today, we're heading into the final chapter of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Before we look at these first six verses this morning in Matthew chapter 7, I'll share with you what I'll just say is a pretty gruesome story. And you're like, wow, well, that's good, I think. Why would you share a gruesome story? Well, because as I mentioned earlier, I mean, Halloween was this past week, and you know, my kids dressed up. Maybe some of your kids dressed up, or you had some neighborhood kids that came by and trick or treated, or whatever. But maybe you've heard some scary stories or some spooky stories this past week, heading into Halloween. And when I was studying for this message today, I ran across one. I was like, wow. I mean, that's kind of almost like a Halloween kind of a crazy story, and it's about this king that lived back in the 500s. His name was King Cambyses II. He was the king of Persia from 529 to 522 BC. And he had a judge that was in his kingdom, this royal judge, and this royal judge's name was Sismenes. And Sismenes judged as judges would do about, you know, things that would come before the courts and whatnot. And so it came to the king's attention that Sismenes, the judge, had accepted a bribe from a party who was in a lawsuit, and therefore Sismenes, because of this bribe, he rendered a judgment in favor of those people that was unjust. And word got back to King Cambyses about this transaction that had taken place, that Sismenes, the judge, had accepted this bribe. And so when the king found out about it, he accused the judge, he accused Sismenes, he had him arrested, and then he had him actually killed because of accepting this bribe. And then here's where the gruesome part comes in. You ready for this? Yeah. The guy's already dead, and then the king says, have his skin removed. I'm like, oh, gross. And not only that, the judge's bench, reupholster the bench, and weave in his skin with the fabric. And you're like, aren't you glad you came to church today? And he's saying, well, why do you want to do that, King Cambyses? Because the next person who sits on that judgment seat needs to know they're sitting on a seat that has a huge amount of responsibility, and they just can't pass judgment willy-nilly. They can't just be unfairly taking bribes and leaning one way or the other based on what somebody else is giving them. That's a big deal to sit on the judgment seat. I was like, wow, King Cambyses bringing it. And Jesus had some things to say about judging people. Let's take a closer look at what Jesus had to say about this subject of judging people in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. As we read what Jesus is saying in this part of his Sermon on the Mount, I invite you, as I've been doing this morning, pay extra close attention. Maybe you've heard a sermon preached about judging others, but listen in a different way today. Stay curious as we're reading God's word and listening to what Jesus is saying, because what we're going to see is Jesus saying one thing about judging and not judging people, and then he's going to come back right around and he's going to pass judgment on people. And he's going to invite you and me to do the same thing. You're going, what? Yeah. Let's use our minds. Let's lock into what Jesus says. is saying here, and see if we can make some sense out of this for our own lives. Matthew chapter 7, we're just continuing in what Jesus is continuing in his Sermon on the Mount. And he says this in verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So right there, in verse 1, did you see it? Jesus says, don't judge or you will be judged. You'll be judged. And then he goes on and he gives this really interesting analogy about somebody having a log in their eye, trying to take a speck, like a little speck of wood, a little splinter out of somebody else's eye. That kind of seems crazy, doesn't it? I mean, it looks crazy with me holding this log up to my eye and going, "Here, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you see clearly." It's insane. And the people who are listening to Jesus are going, "Yeah, that seems pretty insane. That's kind of a crazy, weird analogy. I mean, who would ever do that?" It's like if you think that you can see clearly enough to point out a splinter or a speck of wood in someone else's eye, but you've forgotten that you've got this huge log in your own eye, what is up with that? And Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Don't think you can judge somebody else and get away with it. That's crazy to think you can see clear to take somebody else and remove a little piece of something in their eye if you've got this huge log in your own eye. For my artists in the room, draw me a picture of what you think it looked like for somebody just to have a log coming out of their eye. That'll help you remember this crazy story, this crazy analogy. I want to see your renderings of that, your artwork of that. Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." That's what he said right there in verse 1. And yet those words in this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount are some of the most misquoted, misused, and misunderstood words in the whole Bible right there in Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, lest you be judged. People say it sometimes when they want to justify a life choice. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, I think it's like some kind of a ace of spades or a trump card or some kind of a force field. Oh, judge not, lest you be judged. Jesus said it. I was reading up and studying up on this, and somebody said this, when someone spouts this verse, it's like they feel like they're entitled to just drop the mic and walk away. Oh, judge not, lest you be judged. Expecting you immediately just to embrace the fact that, oh, they want to get a divorce. Okay, that's okay. Or they want to go have an affair. Well, that's okay. Or they're a man, but now they're a woman. Or they were a woman, but now they're a man. Or they want to marry a goat. Or they want to raise goats. Or they want to sell goats or something. I mean, whatever it is. Oh, judge not, lest you be judged. And yet if we invest just a few minutes studying this part of what Jesus was talking about within what? The broader context. Say the word context with me. Context. If we look at the broader context of what Jesus is saying, then you and I quickly see that Jesus certainly wasn't saying that we cannot or that we should not evaluate someone else's choices when they are blatantly wrong and in opposition to what Jesus has already said in his word. Jesus wasn't saying that you and I should not be people of discernment. If that were the case, then what's he saying in verse 6 when he's referring to some people as dogs and hogs? I'll tell you what Jesus was doing. He was passing judgment on people. And he is inviting his followers, even encouraging his followers to do the same. Now, not in some kind of a superior way that's going to elevate them so that they can push down all those imperfect people out there. No, but Jesus is saying, hey, we can be people of discernment and not check our minds in at the door when we become followers of his. And so in verse 1, Jesus says, do not judge or you will be judged. And then in verse 6, he passes judgment on people and he's calling them dogs and hogs. Look again at verse 6 when he says this, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Jesus is making a judgment call here. He's telling the crowds that they're going to have to do some of this same kind of discerning in their own lives. That they're going to have to be people of discernment as they move through their lives. They're going to have to refer to some people as dogs and hogs in the way that they're living their lives. And you go, dogs and hogs, what's up with that? Dogs and hogs were not domesticated little pets in biblical days. So don't think of little Fluffy, your little cute little puppy, or a little piggy that you have as a house pet. No. In biblical days, dogs and hogs were viewed as savages, unruly, unclean to the Jewish people. Dogs and hogs were filthy and threatening. They often were found kind of on the outskirts of town where the garbage heaps used to be. And they would rummage through those garbage heaps looking for food kind of on the outskirts of town. And if they happened to wander into the town and you happened to be on their street, that was not a good situation for you. Particularly if they thought you were between dinner. They would turn and tear you up. That's what the mental image is when Jesus is talking about dogs and hogs. It's why Jesus includes hogs in one of his most famous stories ever told later on in Luke's gospel. You don't have to turn there, but it's the story of the prodigal son. It's found in Luke chapter 15. I encourage you to read it this week and think about what we're talking about here, particularly about hogs and the goodness of our Father. See, in that story, if you haven't read it recently or ever, it's the story of a wealthy and an honorable dad who had two sons. One son stayed back home and worked really, really hard for his dad. The younger son was kind of a punk, and he asked his dad if he could go ahead and have his share of his dad's inheritance while he was still living. And then the dad gives that younger son his share of the inheritance. The son flees. He goes off the rail on the crazy train. He blows all of his inheritance on wild living, on partying in foreign lands. And he so abused his freedom and his funds that his life just ended up broke. Literally in the pocketbook and in his heart. Ended up broken. And so he starts looking for work in this story in Luke 15, and any kind of work, just to make some money. And Jesus tells us what this broken down, broken up younger son who spent all of his inheritance on wild living ends up doing. In Luke 15, verses 15 and 16, Jesus is telling the story, and he says, so he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. It was a foreign country, who sent him into his fields to do what? Say it with me. To feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Nobody gave him anything. See, as Jesus is telling this story, the people who would have been listening would have been going, no way. That's the lowest of the low. No Jew would ever stoop to that level of degrading themselves to go slop the hogs and then to go, that looks pretty good. They're going, Jesus, that's extreme. And Jesus is going, yeah, I know. Let me give you an extreme ending to the story. When he says, while he was out there slopping the hogs in the hog pen, that's when the younger son then, the scripture says, came to his senses. And he ended up going back home to see if he could just go to work, hire out to his dad. And as he's doing that, the father's praying for his son. He's looking for his younger son. And he sees him coming down the road, and it says that while he was still a long way off, the father sees him and he runs toward him. And before the son can even get anything out of his mouth, he just embraces him. He welcomes him home. He throws him a party that the son, who was just dead on the inside, has come back to life, and he's come back home. You know what he didn't do? The scripture doesn't say, nor did Jesus say, that man, he judged him. You know why it doesn't say that? Because he didn't need to. I mean, everybody already knew the verdict on that situation. Dishonored his dad. You see, when a son in that culture asks for an early inheritance, what that son is saying is, Dad, I wish you were already dead so I could go ahead and get what's mine. But the dad loved his son. He knew his son had messed up. He didn't have to remind him. You know why? Because he was discerning. He knew he'd been living like a hog and a dog. And he embraced him, chose to love his son anyway, welcomed his home. That's a radically different attitude that Jesus invites his followers to live with. And don't miss this. And for you and me to begin to be people of discernment in our own lives. Jesus is saying, hey, there's going to be times and there are going to be people in our lives, in this world, who pretty much act like dogs and hogs by the way that they live and the choices that they make and the things that they say. Don't be fools around them. Don't be foolish around them. Be wise. Now, that doesn't mean that you are superior to them, that you're perfect and they're not. So tell them. He said, don't be a jerk and try to elevate yourself and put them down. What if instead you begin to pray for them? Not like at them, I'm going to pray for you, you jerk. Lord, help them not be so stupid. They're acting like a dog and a hog. They even kind of smell like a dog and a hog. No. No. Pray for them. Love them. How can you serve them? You don't know what they've been going through. But you can be wise around them. You can be discerning. You can make a judgment call without being high and mighty. Does that make sense? You can make a discerning call without elevating yourself and stepping on them to push them down. Because remember what Jesus says? You're law guy apart from me. You're law guy. Plank guy. Apart from me. See, Jesus is instructing the crowds that are listening to him to make some discerning calls when it comes to people. And he's saying there's some people that aren't going to receive what you have to say with open arms. They're not going to always embrace it. They're not going to always give you dignity or respect. They're not going to give you, they're going to clamor for tolerance but not give you any. So be discerning. Be wise. Be ready to make some discerning calls on how to deal with such people. And you don't have to throw what's holy to them over and over so that they can grind you down. And yet, I'm not calling you to get into a fist fight with somebody who believes or votes differently than you. Accept people where they are. That doesn't mean you have to affirm every life choice that they make. It means that you can trust that the God of this world, who created you and created them, is at work in your life and at work in their life, even if you can't see it. He says, what will distinguish you from everybody else is if you do something that everybody can see. It's what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35. He said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then Jesus in the previous verse defined what that love looked like when he said, just as I have loved you, you also are to love me. It's kind of a version of the golden rule. We'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. It says, do to others as you would have them do unto you. And Jesus is going, it's even better than that. It goes beyond the golden rule. Do to others as God in Christ is doing to you. It's what the father and the prodigal son is doing, right? For his punk kid who went off the rails and then came back home, when he came to his senses, how did the father respond to him? He was kind to him. He was compassionate. He extended grace. And the son's going, I've sinned so much. But you know what's amazing about the grace of God? Is God's got way more grace than you've got sin. He's got so much more love than you've got rebellion. And God the Father, if you're online, if you post stuff, please hear this. He wasn't looking for the opportunity to roast somebody. He was looking for the opportunity to bring redemption. Radically different. And then he saw his prayers being answered and he forgave. Did he affirm his son's life choices? No. He didn't go, let me just build you a hog pen right here so you can eat here if you want to go back to that lifestyle. No. He didn't do that. But he accepted his son. He loved his son for who he was. The Apostle Paul reiterates this throughout his letters in places like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, when he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has what? Has forgiven you. Yeah. So if Jesus is saying, in verse 6 that we're going to need to make some judgment calls on some people, then what is it that Jesus is talking about back there in verse 1 about not judging people? Man, that's a great question. You ask the best questions. I'm so glad that you're asking that question, because I was thinking about that question. And we've got to remember something. Jesus has been saying some things in the context, say that word with me again, context of other things. See, at this point, it's believed that Jesus probably has been talking about 10 minutes at this point in his Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't just a sentence on the Mount. It was a Sermon on the Mount, right? Yeah, yeah. We've got all kinds of sentences that are recorded here. So Jesus right here didn't go, hey, everybody, come here. Now, let me tell you one thing. Write this down. Don't judge anybody, okay? Have I got that? No judging. Okay, go have a great day. No, he said that within the context of so much more. And we've zeroed in on that and just taken it out of context and misquoted it and misunderstood it. See, if we put judge not lest ye be judged in the right context, it begins to make a different kind of sense to us. Look back at something that he said earlier for context. He said it a few minutes earlier in his sermon back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, when he says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, everybody in the crowd that day knew who the scribes and the Pharisees were. They were the ones who thought they were perfect. They were the ones who tried to come off as holier than thou, who were constantly trying to elevate themselves by stepping on all the dogs and hogs. I love what Tim Keller says about approaching the scripture. He said, if we feel more righteous as we read the Bible, we're misreading it. We're missing its central message. We are reading and using the Bible rightly only when it humbles us, when it critiques us, and encourages us with God's love and grace despite our flaws. That's not what the scribes and the Pharisees thought at all. They lived as a bunch of judgmental and self-righteous religious weasel. And Jesus calls them a bunch of hypocrites. People who wear this mask, this facade of holiness, but underneath, they've just got a lot of logs in their eye, trying to pick out the specks of everybody else. And Jesus is going, don't judge like that. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And if we're to be followers of Jesus, we must become people who love better, serve better, accept better. Jesus is not saying in his Sermon on the Mount that we're to check our minds in at the door of culture. Jesus is saying you and I must be discerning people who need to look in the mirror and see, do we have any logs in our own eyes before we start picking out splinters and specks of wood in other people's eyes? Judge not lest you be judged is not a trump card that lets you just go do whatever you want to do. It's not a pact that we make with culture that says, I'm okay, you're okay, let's all just agree not to get in each other's business so we can go do whatever we want to do and feel like everybody wants to feel. That's not what Jesus is saying. There is a way. What the scripture says is there is a way that seems or that feels right to people, but in the end, it leads to destruction. That's what God's word says. God's word says all truth is not relative. God's word says that all roads do not lead to heaven. God's word says all gods are not equal. However, it says every single person sucking air on this planet is created in the image of holy God. And so you give that person dignity. Amen. Don't step on them to elevate yourself. If you're doing that, you got a log in your eye. And Jesus says, don't be like that. That doesn't mean that you can't be discerning. It just means you're not licensed to be a jerk. That's what Jesus is saying. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You weren't called to be a self-righteous hypocrite who's criticizing and judging and calling out people. You were called to have the heart of the Father, the good, good Father beating within you. That's a father who's wise. That's a father who's discerning. That's a father who's not a jerky, judgmental person who can't see anything for the log in his own eye. May we be people that speak life. May we be people that speak truth. May we be people who love well and serve well and live and give generously. May we be people who are ambassadors of the goodness of God in what we do and what we say and how we live our lives. May we be people who are gentle and humble in heart. And man, if that's not how you've been and you're going, I'm kind of like that younger son that's just been out slopping the hogs and it's kind of been looking good, but I'm seeing and hearing something different today. I'm being called back to who I am and whose I am. I'm the son of a good, good father. I'm the daughter of a good, good father. Know that your heavenly Father isn't sitting here going, what are you doing in church today? He's going, I know where you've been. And I'm looking for you to come back home.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.